Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on tithing versus income tax when we come back. You know, when the federal income tax was launched back in 1913, the tax was levied only upon the super wealthy, the richest one-half of 1% of the entire population, with a top tax rate of only 7%. Today, of course, the fears of the early opponents of this income tax have been more than fully realized. By the end of Herbert Hoover's term, the top rate had jumped to 60%, and by the time Franklin D. Roosevelt was done, the top tax rate was over 90%. And the tax had been dramatically expanded to seize the incomes of the middle class for the first time. In 1913, the average family had to work until January 30th. In order to earn enough to satisfy the tax man at every level, this year, the average American family is going to work all the way through May the 12th in order to earn enough to pay their federal, state, and local tax bills. Now, when you compare this to the plight of medieval serfs, says economist Daniel J. Mitchell, he said they only had to give the lord of the manor a third of their output and they were considered slaves. Now, what does that make the rest of us? Now, the income tax and Social Security tax violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant, including our English common law. The income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal activities. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and Social Security is the eighth plank. Now, that's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? If you'd like more information about tax and status, then why don't you call the law school at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Free of charge. Tax and Status, the school, is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, just go to the website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send an email request for your free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about tithing and taxes. Tithing and income tax. I got a letter from a fellow named Phil. He wrote this letter. He said, we have been reviewing the tithing scriptures. All of the scriptures that we see are related to agricultural products or herds, flocks, and cattle. Where in the scripture does it say that a tithe is paid on all increase? That's question one. Question two, and where in the scripture does it say that labor is an increase? And then third, if I exchange my labor for wood, isn't that a property exchange, and how did I increase from that? Three questions. I raised a fourth. Who are you going to tithe to, since there's no Levites, and the Levites are the ones to tithe to? So we started in reverse. I said, first of all, let's take a look at the penalty for tithing. We found there is none. And what is the benefit for it? The benefit is, God said, if you tithe, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And if you don't tithe, then you're robbing me, and if you rob me, I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out that blessing. Okay? Now, we Americans, in the early days, tithed, and we didn't pay an income tax. This income tax is a fairly new innovation. Remember, our founding fathers followed the biblical principles and put 22 principles of the Ten Commandments into our federal constitution. They left out the income tax. That was an innovation that came along by J.P. Morgan at Jekyll Island back in 1913. So 126 years after the creation of our Constitution, we developed the 16th Amendment and the income tax, the IRS, the substitute, the replacement, the counterfeit for tithing. Our federal government was financed through imposts and exposts, not by taking your money from you based upon your labor. Now, tithing is a direct tax on your labor. But it's not a tax on the gross, it's a tax on the net. We'll see that as we progress. I was talking to a guy one time. Well, I'll tell you who he was. He was a preacher. That's the guy I was talking to. And at the time, I tithed. And I tithed to a church. And I'd been taught, just like everybody else, that you should tithe to your church. I never read in the Bible one way or the other. I assumed that the church guys already did that. I assumed that they were telling the truth. And so anyway, this church guy, he was talking to me, and he said, Gordon, you should be tithing on the gross of your business, gross. I thought that was kind of surprising, because I thought that the word increase meant the net, not the gross. Just goes to show you what I knew. See, when you go to seminary and you get real smart in the Bible, you find out that when you tithe on the gross, and that's because the preacher is receiving this tithe. And of course, if you tithe on the net, it's going to be something less than if you tithe on the gross. I thought that was kind of self-serving, and I wasn't quite sure that that was scriptural, so I said to this guy, I said, well, let's think about this for a minute. Now, my company makes about $1 million a year worth of product, and out of that product, we have to pay some taxes. We got to pay some cost of goods sold. We have to pay some labor and unemployment tax and one thing and another. And when we get all through paying all of our bills, we net about 10%. So for my labor, I get paid about $100,000 a year. So I employ 30 people. I produce $1 million. I pay all of my bills. I net $100,000. And I send $10,000 to you, Pastor. And he said, yeah, that's right, but that's wrong. You're not supposed to do it that way. See, you're supposed to make $1 million. And then you're supposed to take $100,000 of that and give it to me. I'm the preacher. I'm the Levite. I'm the Holy Joe, the sky pilot. And then you pay all of your bills out of what's left. I thunk that over for a minute, and I said, well, now, if I do that, we'd be running a real risk of not being able to pay all of our bills. And one very important bill is me. Me. I like to get paid, too. And in fact, I'm a little discouraged because the government takes $200,000 from me in taxes. And they get twice as much as I do, and they produce absolutely nothing. In fact, what's worse, they get in my way. You know, the OSHA, EPA, State Tax Commission guys and inspectors, you know, they come in. Yeah, they not only don't produce anything, they get in the way of those that are producing. That's the thing that bugged me. So I got to thinking, just like you, Phil, I got to thinking about this tax thing and about this tithing thing kind of hot and heavy. And I told that preacher, I said, you know, it looks like to me that I should be paying my tithe on the net, not the gross. And he said, well, that's why God isn't blessing you. Somehow or another, I couldn't get the numbers to come out. And then the preacher and I kind of had a parting of the ways. But it was for the best, because now I had to go do some research in the Bible. I had to go figure out what in the hell's going on here. If, in fact, I were to go out here and work and produce $1 million a year worth of product, pay all my taxes and pay my bills, and pay that tithe on the gross, I would end up with nothing. Zero. Zilch. That didn't strike me as being a very good program. However, had I done that and cut the government's $200,000 out of it, and I'd taken the $200,000, and given him, you know, 10% of the gross, then the church or God would have got $100,000, I would have got $200,000. Now, that would have made more sense to me. So that's the way it should work, all right. But you still don't tithe on the gross, you tithe on the net. But you should get the $200,000, and the church, you know, should get $20,000 instead of $100,000. But then that's another story for a little later on in the program over here. I gotta cover the subject matter here of how do we arrive at these conclusions? And the answer to that is the Bible is written in code. Code. And I want to explain to you, Phil, this code. I've done that a time or two here on the air, but since this series of programs here is aimed at a particular topic, let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, and let's understand something about this code. The Bible is written in code so that you can't understand it. The reason that you couldn't figure out the answer to the tithing riddle is because you didn't have this code. Without it, you can't understand the Bible. And so, this goes to show you how smart I am. I'm just a crummy plumber, never been to seminary, but I can understand the code, and so can you. And now, when you get through with this, you're going to be as smart as I am, and smarter than your preacher, because the preacher doesn't know the code. If he did, he wouldn't be a preacher. He'd go out and make an honest living. In Isaiah 28, verse 9, it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" Fairly good question. God comes along and says, "Hey Phil, who do you think I'm going to cause to understand doctrine, and I'm going to teach knowledge to?" Okay, well listen up. Here's the guy. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Phil, if you're still sucking a nipple, you're not on the meat of the word. Well then, he's not going to teach you. Don't feel bad. There's not too many people out there that understand this. Verse 10, he says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people." I'm gonna stammer and speak to you in German. In verse 13, he says, "But the word of the Eternal was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." You got that? So the purpose for writing the Bible in the form that it is written in is so that you can't understand it. I know. That doesn't make any sense, and that isn't what you learned in Sunday school, but I didn't write this, Phil. So don't get mad at me. I didn't do that. And I'm not smart enough to write this anyway. And on top of that, I was fortunate that somebody pointed this out to me, because if they hadn't pointed it out to me, I never would have figured it out even by myself. But since some good fellow said, "Hey, Gordon, come on over here, let me show you how this thing works." And I said, "Okay, lay it out to me." He did. Pay attention here. Precept upon precept. That's statute upon statute. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. And so remember, I started off last program and I said this word tithing appears in the Bible 39 times. Gets a little better than that, though, because the word tenth appears 7 times in the context of tithing, and the word increase appears once in the context of tithing. So we have a total of 39 places that we see the word tithe, 7 places we see the word tenth, 1 place that we see the word increase, which gives us a total of 47 places that we need to look up in the scripture. 47. And I would suspect, Phil, that you didn't look up all 47 places, because it's written line upon line. Here a little, there a little. So last time we took a look at a line upon line, in Genesis 14:20. And we took a look at a little in Malachi 3, verse 8. Now let's take a look at some more lines, and let's start building these lines upon lines. statutes upon statutes. A little bit here in Malachi, a little bit there in Genesis, a little bit more in Leviticus, and a little bit more over in Numbers, and a little bit more in 1 Samuel 8, and pretty soon we'll have the whole story on tithing. And boy, are you going to be shocked. So let me give you the answer, and then you'll know what to be looking for as we're going through these scriptures. There are three tithes in addition to seven annual holy day offerings. So why don't you write that down? There are 10 tenths in a whole, and there are 3 tithes for you to pay. Tithe number 1 supports the national and state governments. Tithe number 2 is your holy day offering fund. It's your holy day fund. I shouldn't say offering, just holy day. And then there are 7 annual holy days for which you have to come before God, and you can't come before the eternal empty. So you have to have a holy day offering. So you got 7 offerings, and let's assume that those are $50 a piece or $100. That'd be $350 to $700 a year. Then you've got your tithe. Let's suppose that you're making $100,000 a year, and when you get through net, 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 you net $50, so you got $5,000 in first tithe. $5,000 in second tithe, and then there's a thing called a third tithe that occurs 2 times out of every 7-year cycle, or about 3 1/3%. Not quite, but, you know, it's around 3%. Round numbers. That goes to the poor fund, or it goes to support widows, orphans, and poor, and people like that. Alright, now that I've told you the answer, let's see if there's anything in the scripture that supports these conclusions that I've made. In Genesis 28, verse 22, let's go back to Genesis 28, verse 22, and there's a little story in here about Jacob. This guy Jacob, he was quite a guy. He had 12 boys and 1 daughter, and he's the progenitor of our family, our race called Israel, the Israelite race. And he had a little experience with tithing, but he doesn't use the word tithe here. He uses the word tenth in verse 22. This is 28, verse 22. He says, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So Jacob says, well, I'm going to give the tenth unto you, God, out of everything that you give me. Let me read that again. He says, "I will surely give the tenth unto thee of all that you shall give me." Wait a minute. One of the first things you asked, Phil, was, all I can find is herds, flocks, and cattle. What if Jacob had found some gold? What if he found a handful of diamonds? What if he came into possession of some land? What if somebody gave him a bunch of camels? What if he came into the possession of some buildings? What if he was collecting rent off of these buildings over in Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, there were cities and city-states around there. Would he tithe only on his cattle and sheep, or maybe on his corn, or would he tithe on all? Now, a little later on, we're going to find out that by the time this gets codified in the days of Moses, and the Levites are given their inheritance, that's another story that's coming up. By the time that comes along, and we got a nation here with 3.5 million people over here, now we've got a government. We got mail to deliver. We got potholes in the roads to fix. We got bridges to build. You know, we've got a government that has to be supported. We've got civil servants over here that are going to run the fire departments, police departments, and etc. And those guys have to be paid. Who are they going to be, number one, and how are they going to get paid, number two, and number three, who's going to pay it? So if we followed your line of reasoning here, what you're saying is that the only guys that are going to pay this is the agricultural section. So the farmers are going to support the Levitical priesthood. But the gold miners aren't. The camel herders aren't. You know, the truck drivers, they're not going to pay. The butchers, the bakers, the candlestick makers, the plumbers, the carpenters, none of the craftspeople, they're not going to pay. Just the agricultural section. Wait a minute. Don't the postal people deliver mail to everybody? Don't the post office workers have to be paid? Or is it only the farmers that are going to receive government services? Now, another little deception that comes in here is that when we talk about tithing, we think about church and religion. Well, church and religion don't come from the Bible. I don't know what you've been reading. But the church and religion sure as hell weren't dumb. They were smart enough to swoop in here and counterfeit themselves and say, well, you know, these Levites over here were religious people. We're religious people. They collected a tithe, so therefore you should pay your tithe to us. All Californians are Americans, but not all Americans are Californians. It is true that the Levites did perform some services that could be construed to be religious, like performing marriages, but then judges, you know, your local justice of the peace, your local federal district court judge can perform marriages, and often they do. They're called civil marriages. But just because a judge performs a marriage doesn't make him religious, does it? Now, it is true that judges do one religious service. They perform marriages, so do sea captains. Airline captains could do the same thing. I've never heard of one doing it, but he could. He has the power to do that. But primarily, the airline captain flies airplanes. He doesn't marry people. He doesn't really get off too much into religion, although he might from time to time do a marriage. Judges primarily settle controversies between or among their various litigants, but once in a while they perform a marriage. Levites once in a while performed marriages, but primarily they were judges. Primarily they were civil servants. Primarily they carried out the governmental business. Today we would call them bureaucrats. In Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 34, this is Leviticus chapter 27. Here's all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the eternal's. All the tithe of the land. All of the tenth of the land. Whether it is seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree is the eternal's. It is holy unto the eternal. That statement of and by it says all of the tithe, all of the tenth of the land. Well, let me ask you this, Phil. Is it your position that out of the land only comes corn, wheat, beans? Don't we get iron, gold, silver? Don't we get trees, lumber, logs, wood? You know, if you stop and think about it, all wealth comes out of the ground. All wealth comes out of the ground. Some of the wealth that comes out of the ground in the form of coal. Pretty valuable stuff. Some of the wealth that comes out of the ground is called oil. Gold, silver, trees, logs, lumber, building materials of all kinds, cement. So if a guy is out here working, and if you read that statute, it says all. I don't know how much all is. But I do know this. It's something more than just herds, flocks, and cattle. It includes herds, flocks, and cattle, but all is something more than that. Verse 31, and if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add therefore the fifth part thereto. All right, so there's a little something for you to tuck away in your heart. If you've got your tithes in a can, I keep my tithes in a can, and they build up. They build up. And sometimes you might have 1, 2, 5, 9, 11, 15, 20 pieces of gold in your can. Now, let's suppose for the sake of our argument that I got 20 pieces of gold in my can, and the power bill comes in. And I say, oh my God, I've got to pay the power bill, and if I don't pay the power bill today, they're going to shut the power off. If I don't pay my phone bill today, they're going to shut off my phone. And I don't have the money, so what am I going to do? I know. I'll go to my tithe can, and I'll take one of those pieces of gold, and I'll go pay my phone bill. I'll go pay my bill. Hey, you can do that. You can do that. Here's the statute that provides for it. If a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, after you've paid your tithe, it's in your can, you have not delivered it yet to the Levite, but you've got it, it's in your can, you're saving it up, and you redeem it, he shall add therefore the fifth part thereof. Okay, so here's the way that goes. So now when my ship comes in and somebody delivers me some pieces of gold, I've got to put that piece of gold back plus 20%. So if I took 1 ounce, I got to put 1 2/10 ounces back into the can. Okay. That's to kind of dissuade you from borrowing from your tithes. Plan your life a little bit better than that. Verse 31, if a man will at all redeem of his tithes, I covered that. Verse 32, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Eternal. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, and neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. Uh-oh. What's that mean? And he goes on to verse 34. These are the commandments which the Eternal commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. All right. So in verse 34, God tells you, and these are the commandments concerning tithing, the redemption of tithes, and how to tithe on the flock. All right. Now here's the way that one works. I've got some sheep out here, 30 of them. 30 sheep have about 30 lambs every year. So when those 30 sheep have 30 lambs, I bring those lambs into the corral. And then I have a chute, and I put a rod over the chute. And then I open the gate, and the lambs will walk through the chute. And I station a man right there at the rod. And as the lambs go down the chute, he counts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And the tenth one, whether he's got a blind eye, a broken horn, or he's limped, or he's gimpy, that's the tithe, that one, that particular animal, random chance. So I take that animal out. Now I know you're probably sitting there saying, well, what difference does it make? Well, listen to this. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod. Now there's some other scriptures that deal with it. Go look up the word rod and passeth and passing under the rod, and it'll tell you more about that story, about how you carry that out. I'm just relating to you that that's the way the tithe is done on cattle, flocks, and herds. Okay? Now, you probably don't have any cattle, probably don't have any sheep, and that statute doesn't apply to you because you're not in the cattle business, but it does me because I've got cattle here and because that statute is aimed right at me, and so every year I have to pass my cattle under the rod. And the tenth one is the tithe. All right. Now, what we're going to do with that lamb or that calf or that cow is another story that comes a little later in the program here. But now we know which one it is, don't we? All right. In Numbers 18, verses 20 through 28. We'll take that up right after this message. Stand by. Hey, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. And we do that 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. If you'd like to order one, just call the law school direct at 417-273-4967 and tell us to send it. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're back talking about tithing and income tax. Remember our letter here from our friend Phil. He said, we have been reviewing the tithing scriptures, and all of the scriptures that we see are related to agricultural products or herds, flocks, and cattle, wherein the scripture does it say that a tithe is paid on all increase. Okay, just read it to you, Phil. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, comma, whether it's of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Eternal's, and it's holy unto the Eternal. All of it, including the seed and the fruit, all of the tithe of the land, which includes the gold, the silver, the wheat, the corn, the beans, the honey, the oil, everything that you can put your grubby little fist around, is called property, and that property is tithable, and tithe is directly on property. Tithe, unlike the income tax, is not an excise tax. See, the income tax is an excise tax. It's a privilege tax that you pay for doing some privilege. The tithe, is a direct tax on property. And in case you were wondering whose property that was, the earth is the Eternal's and the fullness thereof. Everything on planet Earth belongs to God, including you, Phil. Including you. And so the boss says, since everything belongs to me, I want you to pay me 1/10 of everything that you create and produce. And he limits that to the increase, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So we've just answered your first question. Where in the scripture does it say that the tithe is paid on all increase? And the answer is, but not limited to Leviticus 27, verse 30. But there's more. Stand by. In Numbers 18, verses 20 through 28, the Eternal spake unto Aaron. God spoke unto Aaron. Now, Aaron was Moses' brother. Aaron was a pretty powerful fellow in the governmental hierarchy. Moses held the office of president of the nation. He was the chief executive officer. Aaron held the office of chief justice of the Supreme Court. He was the chief judicial officer. He was the high priest. He was the highest judge in the land. There was no Congress, there was no House of Representatives, and there was no Senate. And that's because we had a God, and our God gave us all of our laws. He was, in the words of George Bush, a tin horn dictator. Well, hell, he not only was, he still is. I don't know if you'd call him a tin horn, but he's still a dictator. He's just like my daddy. I lived under a dictatorship until I was 13 years old. In fact, almost 14. I got to describe this to you. It was terrible. It was horrible. I longed for democracy. I longed for liberty. I yearned for freedom. Kind of reminded me of Henry Wallace, you know, of Braveheart, yelling out, "Freedom!" That's what I wanted, freedom. Yeah, I lived at home, and my dad was a tin horn dictator, and he made all the laws of the Gordon family, the Gordon clan, you know, all the Gordons, well, at least all the little family Gordons that I knew about. And he had crazy laws, like you got to take the garbage out every day. That was the one that really bugged me. Well, I'm not sure. I had another law that you had to change your underwear every day. I didn't have to wash them, dry them, iron them. I just had to change them every day. I don't know what the hell that was all about. I had to make my bed every day. Crazy laws. I had to mow the grass once a week. And I chafed under that dictatorship. It was terrible. Horrendous. And I had to take out the garbage, mow the grass, change my underwear. And when I didn't do that, there was great pain, suffering, agony, and gnashing of teeth. As I've said before, I was unfortunate, like you lucky little boys and girls today. We didn't have social lady to protect us from the deprivations of wanton tin horn dictator fathers who just beat their kids within an inch of their lives at the drop of a hat, with or without provocation. I mean to tell you that my old man just had the power of life and death over me, like it or lump it. Well, anyway, my daddy announced to me one day, he said, "Now I'm King Edward, and your mother is Queen Mildred, and you are the subject, little Georgie Gordon. I make the laws, your mother carries those laws into effect or carries them out, and you just sit down, shut up, and do what you're told. And if you do that, it'll hurt a lot less." Right. Now, that's the kind of dictatorship that I lived under. And you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, he just kind of operates in a very similar fashion. He says, in effect, "I got the only game in town, and if you don't like it, I'll just terminate you like the Terminator." But, you know, when it was all said and done, my old man said to me one day, he said, "I'm going to go out and work. And I'm going to earn money, and I'm going to buy the bacon, and your mother's going to cook it, and you're going to eat it. But if you're going to eat the bacon around here, then by God, you're going to do your share around here, and you're going to take out the garbage, make your bed, and change your underwear, and keep clean, and look like you're intelligent." I had to cut my hair. I couldn't wear an earring in my ear. I never tried, but if I'd have come home with an earring in my ear, my old man would have slapped me in the next week. If my hair touched my ear, it was time to get a haircut. I know more than once my dad said, "You know, it's about time you got a haircut now, don't you, boy?" And I'd say, "Yeah, Dad, I guess I better go down and get it tomorrow." "Yeah, tomorrow. I'll go down and get a haircut tomorrow." Yeah, we didn't live in a permissive society back in the 30s and 40s, I'll tell you that. Well, now that I share that with you, here you got God over here. Now he's going to give us some more instruction here. And this is one of those dictatorial kind of from the top to the bottom governments where all of our laws comes from a king. And he's got the only game in town, and if you don't like it, it's going to hurt real bad. And I guess that's why the Israelites wanted democracy. Now in verse 20 now, this is Numbers 18, verses 20 through 28, he says, the Eternal spoke unto Aaron, he says, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any part among them. I am your part and your inheritance among the children of Israel. How do you like that? He comes up to Aaron, he says, I'm going to disinherit you. I'm going to give your brother and all the rest of these guys out here land and gold and silver and wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. I'm going to give them great wealth and 33 articulable benefits, but I'm going to disinherit you. You're not going to get any land, no gold, no gold mines, no stocks, no bonds. I'm going to be your inheritance, Aaron. Me. I'm going to be your inheritance. What the hell kind of a crazy scheme is this? In verse 21, he says, now behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. In modern parlance, we would say, well, who's going to pay the senators and representatives and the policemen and the firemen and all of these people that serve in the temple, that serve in the tabernacle? That serve in the civil service. Well, we're all going to pay a tax. That's what we're going to do. And we're all going to get mail, and then we're all going to get fire protection, and we're all going to get police services. But we're not going to have a Congress. We've got a lawmaker. He gave us 759 laws, 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. Now, that's not a whole bunch. You know, boys and girls, you have more statutes in your traffic code in little Rhode Island than the entire law of God. Did you know that? Now, you people all got driver's licenses up there in Rhode Island, and you promised when you signed that driver's license application that you'd obey all the traffic laws of Rhode Island. And there's more than 2,000 of them, and I'll bet you that you don't know all 2,000. But I'll bet you that you know more of the traffic laws of Rhode Island than you know of the laws of God Almighty. I'll just bet you. At least you're smart enough to buckle your seatbelts now, aren't you? But you ain't smart enough to tithe, now are you? Now, rest my case. Before I go any further there and lose my case, I'll just rest it right there. Now notice here in verse 21, he says that the children of Levi shall have all, I'm going to underline that word all again, Phil, all. Do you know how much all is? I don't know either, but I do know it's more than herds, flocks, and cattle. More. I don't know how much more, but it's more. Verse 22, he says, neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh to the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. All right, now, that's just an aside here, but you know, we used to make our own sacrifices. Did you know that? Job, you know, used to go out and grab a lamb, cut its throat, and take the blood and the fat and burn it on the altar for his own sins. But you can't do that anymore, and there's the statute right there tells you to do that. You're not to come nigh to the tabernacle anymore. These Levites are going to do that. These services that are done by the civil service are not going to be done by you anymore. Now, today we call that impersonating a police officer. Did you know that? Yeah, it's against the law for you to do that. In fact, you know, you can still make a citizen's arrest, you know, if there's an emergency out there. But as a general rule, you know, when the civil service, you know, you get caught delivering mail, you get caught, you know, going out here putting out fires and doing things that belong to the civil service, you're going to get your tit in a ringer. Do you know that? We got laws, you know, in this country that prevent you from doing that. You can't impersonate officers and you can't run around doing their jobs. You can't go around delivering the mail. There's been a lot of people try that. That's a monopoly. That belongs to the Postal Service alone. This monopoly that belonged to the Levites was given to them right there. The civil service has this monopoly. and you can't have it. You can have the coal mines and the gold mines. You can have the airlines and the shipping lines. You can be the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, but you can't be the policeman, the fireman, or the road construction guy or the postman. Those are civil service jobs, and they belong to the civil service, and God gave it to these people called Levites. Verse 23, but the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity, and it shall be a statute forever. My God, Phil, it shall be, I'm going to underline this, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Do you know how long that is? I don't know. I don't know how long it is either. But I do know it ain't up yet. I don't know how much all is, but I know that it's more than. And I don't know how long forever is, but I know it ain't up yet. That among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. All right. Now, why do you suppose God did that? You ever heard of this thing called conflict of interest? Conflict of interest. See, these people are appointed for life. Their inheritance comes directly from God. God is the guy that punishes these people. Just like he did with Aaron's two boys. Now, Aaron had a couple of sons. And they went into the tabernacle, and they were supposed to do a job. And they went in there, and they goofed off on the job, and God killed them both. Just up and nuked them. Dead all over, just like Rover. Killed them. Now, that's what happened to Franklin D. Roosevelt. When he finally got to the end of his wicked, evil career, God killed him. And put in another wicked, evil Mason to take his place. And he's been doing that for a long time. And that's because a wicked, evil population deserve a wicked, evil president. A wicked and evil king. And the people mourn when we have these wicked, evil kings and leaders that lead us. And we rejoice when we have an Andrew Jackson. Once in a while, we get a good guy. But the tithes of the children of Israel. This is Numbers chapter 18. We're answering the second question here. Where you asked this question, Phil, you said, where in the scripture does it say that the tithe is paid on all increase? And I'm reading it to you right now. It's Numbers 18, verses 20 through 28. I mean, Phil, it don't make no difference if you're out here digging gold out of the ground, cutting down a tree, whatever it is. We haven't figured out how to calculate this increase yet. But to answer your question is, do I owe a tithe? Where in the Bible does it say, and I'm telling you right here, all. Now go look that up in the dictionary. All of it. If there's any species of property that you can dream up or imagine, you owe 10% of it. 10% of it to this group of people called Levites. Now you don't owe that to Oral Roberts or the Mormon Church or Jerry Falwell. Well, not unless these guys are Levites. Now, I've heard some people come around claiming to be Levites. That happens once in a while. You'll run across some guy, comes along here, and he says, well, I'm one of these Levites. You should give me the tithe. And these religious guys that are taking these tithes over here are claiming, in effect, to be Levites. I think that there's some imposters out there. I think there's some identity thieves running around here taking these tithes. Now, that's just my opinion, I guess. But I guess I'm a cynic. I guess I got to be cynical there when that preacher came in and told me that I needed to pay my tithe on the gross. Now, I don't mind doing something that's hard, but, you know, when it gets down to impossible, you know, right away, I say to myself, you know, if it's impossible, then I don't think I'm going to do that. I guess if I could do it, it wouldn't be impossible. So when it's impossible, I ain't doing it. Verse 22, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Eternal, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Heave offering. Underline that. Heave offering. In Numbers 18, verse 24, first line, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering. You know what a heave offering is? You go into court, and the judge fines you $100, and then charges you $37.50 court costs. That $37.50 court costs is the heave offering. Heave offering. That's the payment that you make to the judge. You know, remember when you got married and the judge said, I now pronounce you man and wife and you can kiss the bride, and you kissed your girl, and then you gave $50 to the justice of the peace for marrying you? That was a heave offering. Did you know that? Just thought I'd tell you so that you knew what the hell you were doing. When you did it, you were in love and you didn't know what that was. Now you do. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering, they is referring to the children of Israel. That's you, Phil. That's me. That's all of us Israelites. We offer a heave offering to the Levites under this statute. This is a law here. This is Numbers 18, verses 20 through 28. This is a tithing statute. Here's the law. Here's God. He says, you shall do this. It's got an enabling clause. He goes on to say here, verse 25, the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites. So now he comes back and says, hey, here's the enabling clause. You see, when it says, and the Eternal spoke unto Aaron, and the Eternal spoke unto Moses, and the Eternal spoke unto the children of Israel, or he spoke unto Moses, and he said, you go tell the children of Israel. That's called an enabling clause. That's the identification of the authority by which this law is being enacted. So when the Congress does that, you know, they'll say by the authority of the Congress, or, you know, they'll refer to the section in the Constitution that gives them the power to do this, and then they'll enact this statute. Enabling clause. There it is. Verse 26, thus speak unto the Levites, and you say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes, which I have given to you from them for your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Eternal, even a tenth part of the tithe. So now, this is a law for the Levites. So the Levite, when he receives the tithe from you, let's run through this. I make $100,000. I make my deductions, and I calculate my total increase is $50,000, so I got $5,000. I run over here to my local Levite, and I give him $5,000. And my local Levite takes a tenth of the $5,000, $500, and he's going to do something with it. What's he going to do with that? And he goes on to say here, let's see now, and then this, verse 27, and this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Notice the word, as though it were the corn. Your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were. It doesn't have to be corn, Phil. It doesn't have to be herds or flocks or anything else. Hell, it could be gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, or oil. It could be money. It could be shekels. It could be dollars. It could be any form of property that happens that you have. It has nothing to do with value. God's a little smarter than that. He doesn't come along and say, I'm going to give you permission now. You can figure out what the value of paper dollars and gold coin is. He said, I want a tenth of the goods themselves. This is a property tax. This is a direct levy on your property. I own all this property, and I'm going to give it to you, but you got to give me 10%. It's a guardian-ward relationship. It is, when you pay your tithe, it is your reckoning. It is your admission that this property belongs to somebody else and that I am paying my master his share of this enterprise. Well, you're doing the same thing with your income tax. It's a guardian-ward relationship in which you recognize that your sovereign is the United States of America. Your sovereign is Queen Elizabeth. Your sovereign is your government. And you are paying your government a portion, which is a privilege, an excise tax. Well, you're exercising a privilege here, boys and girls. But this isn't an excise tax. It is a direct tax on property. God's a little smarter than the average politician. And that's because all of the property on planet Earth belongs to God, and the politicians don't own it. The politicians, the governments, don't own it and can't give it to you. God owns it, and God gives it to you. Now, you got a choice. You can recognize your government, or you can recognize your God as your master. It's a choice that you make. Now, Americans, far and away, prefer the God of the United States of America to the God of Abraham, as evidenced by the number of people that pay income tax and the number of people that tithe. I mean, it's just the way it is. We prefer it. We like it. We Americans would rather pay $7,000 to educate a child for free in the public school. We would rather pay $7,000 in taxes to educate that kid free than we would to pay $500 out of our pocket to educate that kid at home and then spend the $6,500 on beer and pretzels. Now, you figure that out, Joe. It beats the hell out of me, but, you know, that's the way we Americans are. And though in verse 28 he says, "Thus you also shall offer a heave offering unto the Eternal of your tithes, which you receive of the children of Israel. You shall give thereof the Eternal's heave offering to Aaron the priest." So the Levites tithe to Aaron the Aaronic priesthood, of which we have two of those in this country. You see, we have the federal judiciary, the federal priesthood, that's the federal judges that wear long dresses, and then we have the Levitical priests, the state judges that wear long dresses and are inferior to the federal judges. Ah, the plot thickens, doesn't it? And so we Americans have a Aaronic priesthood, and we have a Levitical priesthood. We call it the federal judiciary, and we call it the state judiciary. Just like in ancient times, they had a national priesthood, a national judicial system, and they had a local judicial system, a judicial system that worked in each one of the tribes' territories, of which there were 12 tribes, 13 actually. When you count them up, there's 13. Yeah, I'm about out of time. We've got to leave it right there, Phil. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, talking about this very same topic, tithing versus the income tax, next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Okay, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.